For decades, milk has been fueling women marathon runners as the OG performance drink. And in the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers takes us on a journey of self-discovery as she meets several groups of empowered women runners to find out what drives them, what fuels them, and what pushes them to go the distance. And in the process, she learns that she, too, can be a distance runner. You can watch the series at runningsucktheseries.com and register for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, you are listening to Intuit from Vulture and New York Magazine. I'm your host, Sam Sanders. And this episode, a game. Our signature game on this show, in fact, it is called Intuit, Not Intuit. And I'm going to play it this week with two of Vulture's finest, two of my favorite Vulture colleagues, and I mean it. We've got Morgan and Anusha. Tell folks who you are and what you do at Vulture.
Okay. I'm Morgan Bela. I'm the senior news editor at Vulture.
I'm Anusha Pretturo. I'm Vulture's managing editor.
I love it. You're like the boss boss.
Oh, hardly.
All roads lead to you, huh?
She has all the answers.
Okay, and all the spreadsheets.
If I'm the boss of anything, I'm the boss of exactly the spreadsheets and Google Calendar. So take that for what it's worth.
Logistics, you gotta have it. I have to ask before we start, how long were y'all's Oscar Sundays? Were you just working 25 hours that day?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wonder what life would be like being on the West Coast. Like, I think that's what you are, Sam. Like, yeah, it's definitely about a 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. situation.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no.
They also just can never put it on the day after daylight savings ever again.
I forgot that.
Oh, my God. Like, the Monday, when was that? 2 days ago was, like, the longest day, truly, of my entire
what
life.
What a month this week has been.
Well, and they keep doing that thing where they're like, no, we promise it's going to be 3 hours. And you're like, stop lying to me. It's never 3 hours. You can't do that. It's not how it works.
Well, and then there's something about the middle of the show that is three times as long as, like, all other parts of the show. Like, by the end, they really can get there. They can finish so quickly. And it's like, where was any of that for the rest of the show?
Where was that hustle? Yes. Yeah. Where was that hustle during the middle monologue?
Exactly. It is possible, but we had to see the Little Mermaid trailer. You know, there's some non-negotiables. We got to see some Disney ads. So
many sizzle reels.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Well, we'll probably talk more about that in a bit in the game that we're going to play right now. I forget. Morgan, have you played the game before?
Yes, I've played the game before. And I'm always, like, right, if you remember. Always winning.
Yes. So tell Anusha how it goes. It's her first time playing.
Okay. The rules are so simple. And it's basically what we do every day in Slack with each other, which is Sam's going to bring up a topic and we're going to each say if we're into it and not into it and why. And then he'll crown a winner after a few rounds based on, I believe, just your gut, Sam.
Oh, yeah. And how much I like your opinion.
Yeah.
Make me happy.
You can sway him with a really convincing argument is the tip.
That is true. I have been convinced. I am convincible, if that's a word.
Okay, that sounds great.
Let's just get to it. First, are y'all into or not into Tom Cruise skipping the Oscars? It seems because he didn't want to run into his ex, Nicole Kidman, at the ceremony.
I'm not into it because I would have loved for him to have been in the room when Lady Gaga did her stripped down and MTV Unplugged version of Hold My Hand.
Not MTV Unplugged. It is so, VH1 Storytellers. VH1 Storytellers.
So, okay, so true. Whatever the more acoustic one of those early aughts live performances is.
Hold my hand. Everything will be okay. I heard from the heavens that clouds have been gray.
Yeah, no, I wish he was there. And I also do not think that's why he didn't go, which I'd love to hear if you guys agree that it was probably, I think he wanted to do a stunt and they said no.
Oh, like he wanted to fly into the Dolby Theater and they're like, bro, we cannot accommodate that.
Well, yeah, but then Jimmy Kimmel gets to do it. I feel like he was like, no, it's not fair.
Give me a second to adjust my danger zone here.
I'm going to say I'm into it. I'm also an avoidant person, and not going to a huge party that I know my ex is going to be that, I find that highly relatable, and I'm really pro people taking care of themselves and saying, that's not a room I need to be in, that's not a person I need to see, and so I'm going to stay home.
Let me tell y'all, I am not into this. Tom Cruise, come on now. His movie had 6 Oscar nominations. I've been having to talk about how Top Gun Maverick saved the movie industry for the last 6 months. The least he could do is to get a butt in a seat for one night. They've been divorced 20 years. Get over yourself. Men will literally hang off the side of a moving plane but are too afraid to be in the same room as their ex. What the hell? I'm sorry, I don't like
it. I guess the other thing is, like, I don't really need him there. Maybe I'm, okay, I might be really backing myself into a corner here, but, like, get some fresh talent up on that stage in those seats. Like, he...
Wow, wow. Have you seen him, though? He looks fresh. He just had an old man makeover. Okay. I think he got some old man Botox.
You
He's
make an excellent
fresh.
Point. That is a new man.
I totally agree. And I feel like Anusha was the first person to call Tom Cruise relatable in like a really long time with her
Literally
explanation.
Literally as I was saying it, I was like, I'm calling a Scientologist like a person that I'm looking up to.
Really? So y'all are, okay, y'all identify more with Tom Cruise. I identify with Nicole Kidman.
Oh, no, same. I don't identify with Tom Cruise. I just wish that he was there because I think he would have just been a riot. To me, he is, to Anusha's point, like, we do need fresh talent, but he also is just such a compact movie star
Did you call him compact? Did you call
so him compact. There was definitely room for him on the stage in the seat.
Wow. Wow.
He could have squeezed in, you know?
It's also like, you owe us this. You literally have one job if you are up for an Oscar, and that is to sit in the seat at the ceremony.
Yeah and it is work. Yeah, like
it's literally work.
We were online.
It's literally
where
work.
Where were you?
There you go. If we can put in the work, Tom Cruise, you can be working. I want Tom Cruise to be as brave in real life as his characters are in the movies that he's in. That's what I want.
So true. So true.
Tom Cruise, meet yourself halfway, okay? That's what we're asking of you.
Mission
That's
Impossible
the work.
18 is him going to the Oscars one day.
Okay, number 2. Are y'all into or not into the mayor of Glendale, Arizona, renaming his city Swift City in honor of Taylor Swift beginning her tour there this weekend?
The Swifties are in office.
It's such a bad name.
It's wild.
It's not that it happened.
It's a horrible name.
It's that they didn't do a good name.
I agree. What would you have named it?
Well, I kind of want to lift something from our music writer, Justin Curto, who covered the news earlier this week. But I think, what's it, Glendale, Arizona?
Justin said Glendale, Arizona. That's like exactly, they should have renamed the state to Arizona.
Yes, that was it. You need to read that.
Not into that. Oh my God. I'm also so over boomer dads fawning over Taylor Swift. Like, I don't know.
I'm always just like, Sam, as the father of daughters, they must.
It is not my jam. Well, there's also this really interesting game people play of like still proving how much they love Taylor Swift. At this point, we know that everybody pretty much loves Taylor Swift. We got it. We get it. We're good. Like,
yeah,
what next?
It's not original.
It's not original. Like, get a Taylor Swift face tattoo. Then you can stand out, okay?
Oh, no. You're just going to keep
when the mayor of the city
Andy.
Gets tatted over the Eras tour, we'll talk.
Yeah. Exactly. Until then, keep it moving. Keep it moving.
I just feel like don't put that out there because the Swifties will do it. If Swifties are mayors, like, they'll accept the challenge.
If any listeners of this podcast are Swifties, prove your love by getting a Taylor tattoo on your face. Otherwise, what are you
Sam,
even doing?
You can be held liable for that.
Wait, really?
Well, I don't know.
Sam, don't forget, Anusha is our managing editor. She knows
that is
all
true.
About
that is true. She that. Knows standards and practices.
I'm trying to protect you.
What is the hardest y'all ever worked in your whole lives to get into a concert? And who was the concert? Who was the artist?
The hardest I've worked. The hardest I worked to get into a concert was Fall Out Boy in 2009.
Ooh, Anusha, don't say that. Anusha, you deserve
I
better.
Know, can you believe?
That almost like requires you to send a photo of like what you wore to that concert is what I was going to say.
Asymmetrical like, bangs. Oh, asymmetrical yeah, bangs.
Like, it was asymmetrical bangs. It was a black, I don't even think I had like Fall Out Boy merch. And so I think I was wearing like Cobra Starship or something and like black jeans.
Girl. Speaking of music, question number three. Are y'all into or not into Spotify making an AI DJ on its platform to make you playlists and also talk to you in between songs? The hell?
What do you mean
oh my
talk
God.
To me?
It talks to you. Y'all haven't heard about this?
I saw a headline, but what does it say? I didn't know about it talking
Girl,
to
I'm
me.
Girl, I'm not trying to find out.
It's
so,
like, good playlist, Morgan. Like, what's it say?
So TechCrunch says that the voice sounds, quote, incredibly realistic and not at all robotic. I haven't tried it yet. I don't want to try it. But yeah, this AI DJ will curate a personalized music playlist for you, which Spotify already does. But then it'll have, quote, AI spoken commentary.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Okay, Morgan, you're not.
I'm
Anusha?
Super not into
okay,
that.
Okay, same.
Also, very realistic and not robotic sounding at all is exactly what a robot would say.
I'm only into
Who
an
wrote that press release?
Exactly.
I know.
I'm only into an AI DJ voice if it's like the voice of Samuel L. Jackson.
But then that's Samuel L. Jackson.
But there you go. That's true. That's true.
Well, and I also, you know, not to like be like, I worry about jobs with robots because, okay, like, sure, yeah. But I feel like that kind of is like a simple pleasure of mine is when I go on Spotify and like, I'm pretty sure, but like all those playlists, people are making them. That's their jobs. And I think that that's like funny to me that someone's like, adding, you know, songs to like this uber specific Spotify made playlist. But I'm like, you know what? These are pretty good and like good for you. And I bet a robot could totally do that job. But like, that makes me sad. I'm like, I like the idea of some random person putting, you know, songs on my 70s road trip happiness mix or whatever, like specific thing I'm into that day.
I will say, every time I see an article about a new AI thing that is supposed to scare me, yeah. I'm just like, okay, yeah. Whatever. Like, hasn't Spotify already been using algorithms to make a playlist for me? Like, what's new here? Doesn't Google Maps already talk to me? What's new here? I don't know. I'm just like, okay.
What's funny about this Spotify playlist thing is, like, I totally agree with the concern over, like, stealing the jobs of these, like, really highly, like, music-educated playlist curators. I think there is a really important space for them. However, having a robot voice interstitched in the playlist is like, that's not a job that anybody asks for. Like, yeah. they're not even replacing anything.
Yeah. And it's also just like not the end of the world. I'm like, I refuse to get scared of that. Like, I don't know. This whole AI foolishness, the only AI that I'm actually afraid of, and I'm really not, is Megan the doll.
Yeah, say that.
Wait, what if the voice of Megan is the Spotify TV
voice?
Oh
my God.
Sign me up, baby. All right, before we go to break, if you like this show and want to support it, subscribe to Intuit on your favorite podcast app. Also, consider leaving us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And lastly, but most importantly, tell your friends about this show. Tell your friends about this show. Word of mouth is the best advertisement. It helps a lot. Trust me. Thank y'all for that.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Fox Creative.
This is advertiser content from 26.2 Team Milk and their new docuseries, Running Sucks.
Is running the worst?
Yeah.
Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I hate it so much. I hate it so freaking much.
That you're a real runner now!
I hate it.
I'm Abby Ayers, a 37-year-old mom from Utah who found herself running across the Manhattan Bridge in my first race ever.
Running Sucks celebrates women who run and the running communities that carry them across the finish line.
Running helped me in so many ways postpartum.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
For every person like you, I'm telling you, you belong, and I'm telling you, you can do it.
I never thought the words would leave my mouth, but yes, I'm planning on running a marathon. I can't even say it without laughing, because, like, who would have thought?
Watch Running Sucks at runningsucktheseries.com and learn more about how Team Milk is helping women runners across the country conquer their next course.
Next, are y'all into or not into Netflix canceling an upcoming Nancy Meyers rom-com because the budget ask was too high? Apparently, she wanted $150 million to make this movie, and Netflix was like, $130, that's our final offer.
I'm very much not into it. Give me all the Nancy Meyers and give her all the money.
Also, that's not even, like, that's, I agree, but, like, that's not even, like, all the money that she's at. You know, like, it's like, I feel like to compare it to Marvel is, like, the obvious thing, and obviously there's different, you know, the VFX, like, there's different things. But how do you know she's not trying to do that? How do you know that this is
true?
Who are we to not think that this isn't taking place in outer space or underwater?
It also seems like $20 million is just a weird place to draw that line for Netflix. It's like, you probably make that in 15 minutes.
I'm sorry. It feels like a man would just get the money.
Mm-hmm.
James Cameron got $1 billion so I could watch blue people swim with dolphins for an hour in the middle of a three-hour movie. They could give Nancy Myers $150 to give me my kitchen porn. I need that.
You know what could be the silver lining, though, is like a network, is like a studio becoming just a studio film. Like, you know, Sony Picture Classics make it. Like, you know,
it's okay. Or I'll just launch a Kickstarter for Nancy Myers. I bet Nancy Myers fans could get her over the top. We could raise her $20 million to get her to what she needs. What is y'all's favorite Nancy Myers kitchen of yesteryear all time? I mean, they're all just opulent to me.
I know their favorite kitchen.
There's such a distinct vibe. I mean, like, I feel like Diane Keaton, and what's the one with Jack Nicholson and Keanu Reeves?
Something's gotta
give. No, baby, no. It's complicated.
Her Hamptons.
It's complicated. That's the one.
Oh, that is a good one. That is a good one, too.
Oh, wait. I actually just realized my actual answer, which is the Napa kitchen in The Parent Trap, the one where Chessie. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Most important meal of the day. Eggs sunny side up, bacon side of toast, and in case you're really hungry, a stack of humongous chocolate chip pancakes, which smell incredible, if I do say so myself.
Thanks, Chessie.
I like
that's
that.
That's the best kitchen.
I like that.
It's Napa.
I like that. Town and Country has a whole rundown of the best Nancy Myers kitchens. Oh, Father of the Bride had a great kitchen.
I feel like that's the best, like, house overall, for sure.
There were two islands in Something's Gotta Give. Two islands.
See, that's
my favorite.
That's
doing too much.
No.
It's still going to be, it's complicated for me. I just pulled up the It's Complicated kitchen. I would live in that kitchen. Oh, baby, the lighting's great, the hanging pots, long table, and the very simple island situation. Two fruit baskets in your kitchen. You're living life. Looks like it might be three fruit baskets. Oh, baby.
No, this one's a stunner.
Do you guys think that out of any room in the house, the kitchen, like, knows the most secrets about a family?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The kitchen is, like, named in the fucking divorce, man. The kitchen knows.
The kitchen knows.
The kitchen knows, and then what other room? I guess the bathroom knows.
Oh, my God.
That's because the pills are there, right? You know? The pills are there.
And that's when that's where the pregnancy test happens. The bathroom also knows.
Like, the bathroom off the kitchen, though, I feel like. Like,
damn.
The downstairs. Mm-hmm.
The bathroom knows. Yeah. The bathroom knows. The kitchen knows.
The half bath.
Oh, secrets. Secrets. The half bath beneath the stairwell next to the kitchen.
Yeah,
baby.
That's for sure.
Receipts are there. Last question. I've taken y'all on a journey. Thanks for playing. The last question in this game. Are y'all into or not into Megan, the evil life-sized AI doll who twerked into our hearts earlier this year on the big screen? Are y'all into or not into her now modeling for Marc Jacobs? Not even freaking kidding, man. Like,
we're so into her. We're so know, into, I mean, I'm so
yeah,
into that.
Like,
I mean, oh my God.
She's like the last good, pure, like, girl boss.
Yes.
Like,
she's the killer.
M. Thregan is coming for.
Yeah, she's killing it.
Wow.
She's killing
it. Oh, my God.
Did you say Marc Jacobs?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, according to Nylon Magazine, it's going to be shot by Marc Jacobs' favorite, Harley Weir. And the campaign features M. Thregan in the Deftones God Help Me Up zip hoodie and Love Soul knee-high boots. She's going to
this
be bathed.
This is just a serve. Wait, like, she looks like me at the Fall Out Boy concert.
Apparently, she's going to be bathed in red, like the blood spilled from the toy company's executive she murdered with a paper cutter. They say that Megan looks off distantly, off camera in this shot, with a sense of, quote, haunted longing. Jesus
I
Christ.
Mean. Jesus. We've almost gone too far with Megan, but, like, we're towing the line. I'm still into it. But the moment that she...
The moment that she what?
I don't know. I'm trying to think what would make it go too far. The moment she's cast in Nancy Meyer's new movie, it's picked up again. I might be like, she's a sellout. She's gone too far.
We have reached the end of this omnibus edition of Into It, Not Into It. I have to now name a winner. And I am not going to recap every question for y'all, but I am going to say it all comes down to Tom Cruise.
Anusha was
into Tom Cruise skipping the Oscars because it was relatable. Morgan was not into it because he was missed. I am on team make these actors and actresses work for their supper. So, Morgan, you win.
Thank you. Thank you. Unlike Tom Cruise, I do show up.
And you're a winner. He was not at the Oscars.
And I win.
Yes. What is your acceptance speech for this game?
You know, I just like to say it's always people, profits over people. What? Did you hear about this
Wait.
Flub that I am obsessed with?
Wait, no, tell me.
The producer for Everything Everywhere All at Once had like a very, you know, practice speech for when they won Best Picture, like huge
and
that they won.
He is so proud of me, not because of this, but because we made this movie with what he taught me to do, which is no person is more important than profits.
And he just uploaded a photo later showing, obviously he meant people over profits, but it was just the delivery.
Was like,
uh-oh.
Also, always write it down. Always write it down.
He still had it written down.
Oh, my yes! God!
No, he had it written down.
Oof.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Culturegeist. Culturegeist. You're listening to Culturegeist. Culturegeist. I don't know, y'all.
And now for a segment we're calling Culturegeist. About all the things we can't stop thinking about. The culture that's haunting you. Haunting me. Haunting all of us. For better or worse.
Hi, this is John from New York City, and my culturegeist is the song LAX by Wolfpack. It goes, I love my baby, she's the best. She picks me up at LAX. What gets me through the longest flight? And that gets stuck in my head whenever I go to LAX because my girlfriend is normally the person who's picking me up. So from the moment we land to baggage claim to when I get in her car and the entire ride home, I am singing that song. And it doesn't stop there. When I go back to LAX to go home, I start singing, I love my baby, she's the best. She drops me off at LAX. And then once my plane takes off, it goes dormant until the next time I return to LAX.
Hey Sam, this is Rachel in Philly, and my culturegeist for the last decade has been the lesser known meaning behind the semisonic song Closing Time. A little important backstory is that I got a music business degree from an art school, which should perfectly explain why required reading in one of my classes was the book So You Wanna Be a Rock and Roll Star by Jacob Slitcher, who is the drummer of Semisonic. Closing time. In this book, he talks about how they recorded the album that Closing Time is on, Feeling Strangely Fine, around the same time that Dan Wilson, the main songwriter's first child, was born. And when she was born was when they were supposed to start recording that record. Dan and his wife Diane decided that the band should still make it so that Dan could have some relief from spending all day in the ICU. The good news is that Coco did start to get better, about which Jacob Slitcher writes, in late February 1998, after almost a year in the hospital, the doctor said Coco was strong enough to go home, where she would still require round-the-clock medical supervision. She left the hospital on the very day that our new single hit the airwaves. Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. It was a song Dan had written in anticipation of fatherhood. A song about being sent forth from the womb as if by a bouncer clearing out a bar. And underneath that paragraph is the full lyrics to Closing Time, presumably so you can make different associations now that you have this new knowledge. But I'd have to say the most telling for me are, time for you to go out to the places you will be from. Closing time, this room won't be open till your brothers or your sisters come. Every new beginning comes from some other beginnings, and yeah. And there you have it. Closing time, actually about a baby.
Hi, Sam. My name is Amy, and my culturegeist is something I have been thinking about since I saw it weeks ago. And just fair warning, it will contain a small spoiler for The Traitors, which is what my culturegeist is about. In case you haven't been watching, it is a wild reality competition show on Peacock hosted by the perfection that is Alan Cumming. And at the end of the first episode, everybody competing, which I have to say is probably 15 to 20 people, had to write down the name of the person that they wanted to be eliminated.
Slates down. I'm now going to ask you all to reveal who you think is the traitor. We're going to begin with Kyle.
Damn. All right.
Everybody, except for that person herself, wrote down the name Geraldine.
Rachel.
I voted for Geraldine. I felt that...
Except nobody spelled the name Geraldine even remotely correctly.
Amanda.
I voted for Geraldine.
Everybody had a different and completely incorrect way of spelling Geraldine. And that's not even the part that haunts me the most. The part that really haunts me the most is that Geraldine obviously wrote down somebody else's name.
I voted Michael because I can't trust you anymore. I'm sorry.
She tried to write the name Michael, and she didn't spell Michael correctly either. In fact, she spelled the name Michelle, like with two L's and an E at the end, instead of Michael. And that was the moment that I knew I was going to be thinking about all of these incorrect spellings, perhaps forever.
I'm glad to be here.
Thanks again to Amy, Rachel, and John. Listeners, do you have a culture geist? A thing in the culture that's been haunting you for days or weeks or even years? Share it with us. The more specific you are, the better. Just send a short voice memo via email to intuit@vulture.com. intuit@vulture.com. All right, Intuit is hosted by me, Sam Sanders. The show is produced by Janae West, Travis Larchuk, Gabi Grossman, Jelani Carter, and Taka Zinn. Our fearless editor is Jordana Hochman. Our engineer is Daniel Turek. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. And Hannah Rosen is the head of audio at New York Magazine. All right, listeners, we are back next Tuesday with a brand new episode. Till then, be good to yourselves. All right, bye.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running, but they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.